Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to jump on the show train. Yeah, that was pretty bad, right?
It's a podcast train.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Matt Mania Podcast, and we're crossing over. That's me doing an Allen Iverson. Shoe squeaking. So we have a crossover episode, ladies and gentlemen. We have the Steel Cage Podcast in the building. But as for us, it's Matt Mania number 110. What up?
Chilling, man.
And this is also the Steel Cage episode 357. Hello and welcome. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a mindless meat castle. And I am joined by my fellow guys from the Steel Cage. To my left, he puts the brew in Hebrew. It's the super Jew, Jared Rabinovitz.
Aren't you more like a mindless meat sandcastle?
Wow. Sure, I'll take that. I'll take that.
He puts the brew in Hebrew.
Yes, and then also joining me to my left is the founder and proprietor of the Steel Cage, Mr. Joshua Schlag.
This is one of those times where I wish we had a video podcast going. The entire time Derek was doing that, he was like not breaking eye contact with Jared, saying mindless meat castle.
Right into his eyes.
And really, I'm not the one who passed out in Derek's car last night.
Yeah, I should be looking into your eyes over here.
Oh, don't worry. He's going to get it.
Oh, yeah.
You will get these hands.
You might have got something else last night.
Jokes. You're going to get these jokes.
Who knows?
There was piss involved.
Whatever. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and for the Matt Mania crew, we're representing. We have less mics, so keep aware that most of your conversation will be off mic, Neo, unless you grab the mic. To my right,
I'm going to grab the brass ring.
The Neo X. Reach out for the brass ring, brother.
Keep reaching out for those proverbial brass rings, right? Hey there, Matt Maniacs. Welcome to another episode. So good for you guys to be here. I am alive. I am well.
Are you sure?
Coincidentally, drinking again.
Oh, yeah.
So,
gotta get right back on that bicycle.
So, again, we're going to make an application. It's going to call Where's Neo X? So that way, if he passes out, we can send out a beacon.
Not if you pass out. When you pass out.
It puts a little Stone Cold Steve Austin face out there for everywhere he passes
and
out.
And if you have a smartwatch, it'll show up on your smartwatch. It'll also send you a fax.
And a picture of him passing out wherever he's at.
A page?
Yeah. It's going to be the
fax. A smoke like signal the, next, I mean.
Carrier wolf, pigeons.
Like the wolf for me to find me. Talk in the mic,
dude. I must say, last night we all went out and partied. We went to the Open Mike Eagles show. Shout out to Mike. And, man, the green room was something special.
No shout out to Mike. He jumped me into a gang called the 1993 Chicago Bulls, and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, he didn't tell anyone until the end what his gang would be called, and that was a perfect troll for Phoenix. I remember it very clearly.
You remember it very clearly.
I mean, y'all do.
I was in my Nana's kitchen. And I remember walking to the back room in tears.
Yep. John Paxson.
And I still hate John Paxson to this day.
My family gathering was bigger than our Thanksgiving to watch that game. We were all gathered around the TV together as one. It was a sad, depressing end of the night.
Real tears, man.
I watched highlights of that last night while I was enjoying
sports
myself.
Balls.
Listening to some good music.
Yes.
Shout out to Mike Eagle for trolling me harder than anybody has trolled me at a concert in my entire life.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
That was well done. That's well done. Good job, Mike.
Yes, and so, I am Brock Knowledge. I'm Brock Knowledge.
My client.
Hanging out.
Brock Knowledge.
Yeah, we got some things to talk about tonight, man. This has been a crazy week in the world of wrestling.
My phone blew up yesterday with everyone telling me to stay off the internet.
I tried.
And figure out what was going on and watch it the right way. So I want to get into it. But first, we always like to put things over. Let's talk about some things that are non-wrestling so that the folks who aren't into wrestling, whoever they are, can get a little bit of excitement out of the first few moments of the podcast. Indeed. I want to start off. I just downloaded a new game for PlayStation Network. It is called Tetris Effect. This game is dope. First of all, it's like Tetris VR.
Yeah.
So it's really like crazy freaky graphics going on and music stuff. So it's musical cues. So as like blocks drop, music hits. As you flip, there's musical. Oh, it's such a like, I don't even know how
it's
to explain
good music.
It. It's an experience. Yeah.
Okay.
It's great music. Sometimes it's like a piano plink that every time you kind of move it. And then once you hit the Tetris, boom, then the whole jazz tune just pops up. Oh, it's beautiful. If you like sound. Yeah, it's good, man.
And you can play it in VR.
Yes, it's like kind of made for VR. So right. I really.
But you can play it in a regular. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
You can play it without it.
Well, yeah.
Nice. VR is on my Christmas list. I think I really want VR. I'm gonna talk to Santa and see.
They've been doing it so well because they figured out they dropped the whole trying to do first person perspective stuff.
Yeah.
They stopped trying to make Call of Duty in VR, and they realized there's better ways to use it. Some of the best games right now, believe it or not, are platform games.
Yeah.
Like, there's this game Moss, and there's another one called Astrobot, where you're essentially controlling, you know, a character almost like a 2D platformer. And on top of that, then you're also like a character in their world that's helping them. It's crazy, but it's a really good use of VR. Like they're starting to creatively use it now that it's been out as long as it has.
Am I the only one in the room that doesn't play games?
Probably.
Yeah, on your phone.
Huh?
You don't play games at all?
On your phone? Nothing?
I got a baseball game that I played, but as far as like a video
game, you play baseball?
On a console?
Yeah. Did you used to, or have you never really?
A console?
A little bit, but I never got into it like y'all. Like, yeah.
I'm talking about Tetris. This is the most basic
Tetris
game. You've had to have played Tetris.
Of course, of course.
So now they just brought it out into the, you know, the new world. But I'm still a little mad at it. It's not perfect because it does not have local multiplayer. Bro. My wife loves Tetris. Why can't we play together? Split screen. That makes me so mad.
Puzzle games that are split screen, especially versus where it like adds extra blocks to theirs or something like that. Those are the best.
That's
man.
Fun.
They're great.
I'm so mad about that. Like how Dr. hard Mario. Is it to just throw in a split screen? I don't know, man. I hate that about games where they want you to play online. I don't want to play against some kid in Japan who's going to whoop me.
That's like, right.
Well, I want to play my wife because I can beat
her. My bigger problem is like the PS3 servers are all coming down. And like I know that's only a matter of time until that happens with PS4. So I don't want games to be so worried about being online if they're going to do that one day.
Well, that means you have to buy one for her, buy her a copy of the game, buy another TV, and then you guys just play each other online.
She goes in the room.
That sounds expensive.
That does sound expensive.
So now I have to ask Santa for another PS4 and another TV?
Come Santa's on. Real?
And the PSVR.
Of course. So who's next? Who wants to
see,
put something
that's
over?
Why you don't get video game consoles.
Aha.
I've got video game consoles and I don't believe.
Oh, well, yeah, you're a different story.
Wait a minute, but you're a Jew. It's okay.
Yo. Neo X, what kind of hentai porn are you putting over?
Oh, yeah. So I've been watching...
some really freaky stuff.
Yeah.
Some tentacle porn.
I've actually been watching on YouTube this... it's a channel called Oxhorn. And what he does... What captivated me is I was looking for Fallout 76 stuff. And then I just so happened to stumble upon his playthrough, and he's got a very unique perspective on when he does his playthrough. For example, you know how you get speech cues in Fallout, right?
Yeah.
So he'll actually narrate the speech cues, you know, and then on top of that, he actually puts in a lot of emotion, like, well, I think I feel like this way, or I feel that way about this. So you kind of get a better, like another perspective, another player's perspective. But because he riddles it with like how he's feeling, it's interesting. I recommend it. So far, I've been watching him play through Fallout New Vegas, and if a time permitting, he actually even gives you like factoids about, oh well, this you know, this Easter egg was here, or you know, a lot of people don't know that in Prim it was actually founded here, and so he's actually like puts in a lot of like facts and stuff as well. So I'm waiting until like Black Friday to get Fallout 76. So in the meantime, I've just been...
Let them fix those servers
first. Yeah,
yeah,
a lot
of
that.
I'll say this much, though. I don't really like video game, like, YouTube stuff. Mm-hmm. But I've found that I start watching games that I'll never play, or I've never played. Like, that's different for me, because I don't feel like I'm getting... I'm like, I'm never going to play this, so I'll watch it. And
like, yeah, any spoilers that come through, I'll be like, it's okay.
Whatever.
I'm not going to play the game. Right. Yeah.
Oh, you don't care about those spoilers?
No. Hmm.
Hey, video games are a storytelling experience now. You got to save that.
True. Oh, man. Neo gets, like, violent over spoilers.
He gets mad in the
group text. Yeah. He'll, like, legit get angry and leave our group text chat if spoilers come through.
In the early days of the Steel Cage, when we'd go to cover SmackDown before it aired on Thursday, Josh would actually walk out of the room and go stand outside so that we could discuss SmackDown so he wouldn't get the spoilers.
Oh,
that's a team player, right? That's a team player.
I walked outside. I just looked in through the window. I was just waiting. I'm just waiting. You guys done?
Just looking in like a creeper.
You look like a lonely puppy outside. Just like, adopt me. Adopt me.
Adopt me. Oh, man. Yeah, he's very serious about spoilers.
He is.
I do my best. Some non-gaming.
Yes.
Rock, what do you got?
I'm bringing some hip-hop to the podcast, per usual.
All right.
It's a three-part, one put over. Okay. Last week was the 25th anniversary of Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers,
yes.
As well as Tribe Called Quest's Midnight Marauders.
It's two of the best albums ever.
Agreed. No, I didn't. I put over Danny Daniels last week, right. Sir. And then the other part of it is today is actually the 15-year anniversary of Jay-Z's The Black Album, which to me is Jay's best album after Reasonable Doubt. That's just my opinion.
This is a good week in music.
It's a great week in music, man. Yeah. It's great. And hey, they even announced a new Black Thought project coming out next Friday, which is super dope.
Jay-Z's unretired more times than Ric Flair, right?
Whoa! I mean, he's Hove, man. He's at this point, he's Hove.
He's Hove. He does what he wants.
He does what he wants,
goes home, touches Beyonce, and then goes back doing what he wants.
Damn, that's a good
life. Not a bad life.
It's when he touches Becky with the good hair that he gets in trouble.
Yeah. I don't think he's touching any other hair except for Beyonce at this point. Yeah. If he's a smart man,
if he's smart,
just play with Beyonce, bro.
That's right.
So that was the fake out of them all. Black Album was supposed to be the bow out.
It really was. 2003. That was the hype it was behind
like,
it.
Yeah, like the big hype that did the big Fade to Black movie.
Yo.
Like, great behind the scenes
footage.
That's a great
concert DVD show to watch.
It's cool because
everybody
one of the
and their
ones.
Mama comes out. Even Ghostface with the big gold, the big gold eagle. So that's dope. Yeah, man.
So go play some Jay-Z. But there's only one place to get Jay-Z, and that's on Tidal.
That's on Tidal, which I am a subscriber to.
Yeah. I can't do all these subscription services. I love Jay-Z, but
tough.
I like music, and so I'm like, I'm just gonna go to one place and hope that they have all my stuff. But
I'm the guy that pays for Spotify and Tidal.
We're also on Spotify right now.
There's a reason why I pay for Spotify.
Oh, it's not Spotify that I'm giving you the look over.
It's a Tidal?
Yeah.
Why?
Who pays for that? I don't know anybody who's got that.
You know,
one guy. I use his login to watch the Jay-Z videos,
dude,
this is legit. Like the videos he did for Tidal were really high quality. So I will say the exclusive content, great.
Yeah.
But there's like four artists who give Tidal exclusive content.
Yeah.
So it's not quite enough yet for me to get another subscription. But Tidal's, it's good. It's good quality music.
It is.
The actual sound quality is higher than Spotify, but you got to really be like an audiophile to notice.
I notice. Yeah. And also with the Black Album, that was the big breakout for Ninth Wonder. That was his first major placement, and that pretty much catapulted him to where he's at now. So,
yeah,
go check out Jamila as a Squad Volume 2. That's a solid project.
Oh, yeah, just listen to that.
It just came out.
Rhapsody's on there. All the usual suspects.
Black
good stuff.
Thought's got to join on. Yo, the joint with Jericho Jackson and Conway.
Oh, it's fine.
Dog.
It's really good.
Dog.
There's some good rap out right now.
Some really good rap.
So go check it out. Derek, I think you have...
I got a hip hop
right online.
Yeah,
with what you got?
So I recently discovered during my friend Josh's wedding when we stayed at this hotel in Tempe, the Moxie, which I can't recommend enough.
I want to go there now just for what you're about to put
over. It's dope, right? Like right? It's just a really unique hotel, and it was real different. But one of the coolest things was the hotel room had a record player in it with a couple of records. Each room had different records in it. Our room had Al Green's Greatest Hits. Because obviously they were trying to get some lovemaking going on in there. And
I mean, it is a hotel.
I mean, you know, they knew what was going on. And they also had Anderson .Paak. And I did not know who Anderson .Paak was before this, and I fell in love with...
Yes, Lord!
Oh, man. The album Malibu was dope. I found all of his other music on YouTube, and his videos are amazing. His video for Bubblin' is one of the funniest videos I've seen. I
so
love
good.
That. Yeah. So, like, again, it's really cool when you find an artist like that, especially one that's been around... There it is right there. And, like, you know, once you find an artist that's been around for a while, it's got a decent catalog of music, it's kind of fun because you can dive right in and hear all the stuff they've done. And, like, I have so many new favorite songs now because of it. So it's really cool.
And side note on Friday. Yeah, he's got another project coming. Side note, he's been making music for a while.
Yes.
So he's got music under the name Breezy Lovejoy. Okay. That was his old name.
And was it No Worries?
No Worries with Knowledge.
Yep.
So he has another project like under a different name.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of music out there him. And it's really all very good.
He's been super so good. Dope, but now he's just on another level. And
that track listing is nuts.
Dr. Dre,
Q-Tip,
Dre mixed and mastered it, so you know that shit's going to knock.
Yeah,
that's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair.
So good. I'm a big fan of his. So that was a good discovery.
Hell yeah!
Man. What do you guys got? Who's next?
All right, you guys are talking about rap and hip hop.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with country.
I like country.
All right, all right.
Yep. I'm going with Mr. Wheeler Walker Jr.
Is that a real person?
No. Yeah. Oh, well, kind of. Actually, so Wheeler Walker Jr. is actually the alter ego of is it Ben? I can't remember his last name. He's from the Ben Show. He's a comedian. So he decided that he was going to make the greatest country albums of all time, and really, it is the most X-rated stuff you'll ever hear.
So it's like dirty country.
It's dirty country times dirty country times dirty country.
So he's using like PBR plus, for lube and.
Let me give you some of the track listings.
Right. Please do. Please do. The ones that you can.
There's ones that can't?
No, you can do them all.
I don't know.
Okay.
Do them all.
He's got a new album coming next week. So here's the couple that are. Yeah. Well, the first song is Save Some Titty Milk for Me.
Woo!
Yo!
Okay. Next,
next one is I Like Smoking Pot a Lot.
I like that song already. Yeah, it's a great song.
Can I buy an MP3?
Yeah.
Like,
where can I? the next one is Fuck You with the Lights On.
All right.
Okay. Hey, that way you can see her and see her face.
Well, why would you not want that?
Exactly.
As he says, let me see them titties knocking.
You can look into her eyes.
Right. That goes back to track.
As you're giving her that John Deere loving.
Yep.
Oh my God. The other one that's out for preview is Fucking It Up.
Wait, there's previews?
Yeah, well there's four songs.
I almost want you to play like a snippet.
Oh my God.
Just so we can hear a little tidbit.
I will play the snippet of the one that I've been.
Please do.
Oh, it sounds country.
Oh, it's country as hell. Country,
wait, just wait a second.
I'm already laughing.
Yeah, just.
Sorry I fucked your friend.
Okay, that's enough. And scene.
All right. Anytime you start a song with "I'm sorry I fucked your friend," it's a great song.
Okay, I need to look him up. What's his name again?
Wheeler Walker Jr. This is his third album. He's got two other ones.
I saw he's coming on tour.
I will go.
He's coming to Phoenix.
This needs to be a
trip.
Can we go together?
Yeah.
We all go together.
I'm going to go. It's December 1st. I think it's at Crescent.
Dog, can we all go together?
I'm going,
I'm very serious. Let's do this.
I'm so with that.
I'm already going with a couple
field
guys,
trip.
So.
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah. So
we're on.
If you look this up, you can also look up his video from his last album.
Oh, wow.
Is on Pornhub.
Oh, shout out to Pornhub.
Wait. Okay.
Pornhub.
This song is Puss in Boots.
Really?
Pornhub does not believe in No Nut November.
Well, all right. Wheeler Walker Jr. Thanks.
I'm
amazing. Thank you for opening our world to that.
Yeah. I love
it. That's what the putover's all about.
We got one more, though.
Sure. Josh, what you got? How do you go to
follow that?
That is ridiculous.
I was just like, I found a new running trail I like.
Well, there's that.
I bought a pair of running shoes. They're great.
I'm about a month late on this, but on Netflix, The Haunting of Hill House. That's the thing. I just binge-watched it this last week. I fucking love horror. And, like, I love when things can legit scare me. This fucking show has, like, stuck with me. Where, like, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and, like, think that I'm seeing something from that show.
Oh, wow.
It's fucked up. There's a lot of psychological stuff going on. They do a lot of, like, time shift telling. Ooh. So, like, they'll tell some stuff in the past, tell some stuff in the future, and, like, it's really messed up.
Is it within, like, the episode, though? Like, they'll maybe play like the ending of the episode and maybe how it leads up to it? Or?
They jump around, but it's not confusing like Westworld is. Like it's very straightforward.
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
Yeah, you won't get lost.
Okay.
Because here's the kids when they're kids, here's the kids when they're adults. Yeah. All the shit that's going on. It's essentially, it's about this house and the powers that this house has. It's really fucked up. That said,
we just got flipped off by T-Paul the villain.
Makes a hell of an entrance.
Wait, is he mad that he's late? Is that what's going
on
here?
He's on T-Time. I'm late. If I told you guys yesterday, I'd be here at 8:30.
He did. I didn't get that text. So we were all supposed to change the time.
It's 8:30.
I didn't get the memo. You're still late.
Because jobs give you 5 to 10 minutes. Time to clock in. So.
Welcome, sir. We might need a fan now with all these bodies.
It's about to be 187 degrees in here.
Keep on drinking.
And these guys saved me the IKEA chair. Thank you.
There you go. We're still doing putovers. We're actually right on time if you have something. But if not, we can always come back to you. So let me know.
What you got, Teak?
Let me know, bruh.
Nah, I'm going to come in.
What you into this week?
Everybody's gone. Everybody's gone except for you.
What do these look like?
Well, we can come back later.
I thought that was Becky Lynch on the can.
Yeah,
I said Kim
Possible. Kim Possible. Becky
Lynch.
Does somebody
have a lighter?
Beer.
Yeah. Wait, do I?
I hope so.
All right,
moving on.
That's definitely a discussion you can have off mic.
Everybody's done their put over?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Just got done.
I guess I'll do mine then.
All right. If you're ready, we can come back if not.
Good, sir.
All right. What is he putting over? What are you watching these days? It's gotta be a Netflix show.
In your car?
Yeah. I could always put over Neo in a good beer and a good drinking night. He said he lost you last night.
He didn't lose me. I just had to. I had to leave. I guess I ghosted. I had to roll. My ride was ready.
Did you pull a rock exit?
No,
I just left.
I did. I like to call it the Irish goodbye. I just bounced like
that's a rock exit.
I was just like, yo, I gotta go. My ride was ready. I had to leave.
Shit. I don't even think I'm watching anything right now. I've been so busy with work. Should put over some music. Shit, everybody who was at the show last night, go check out some of those artists who was at the show last night. Fucking Open Mike Eagle and Pan Amsterdam. He did some dope jazz, hip-hop, playing the trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And Video Dave. So go check all those guys out. They're still on tour.
Indeed.
Nice.
It was a good show, man. It was fun. Outdoors was different for this time of year, but
and
the show was official.
How was that?
Then it should be.
Like where
it was chilly, but it was
stadium.
Good.
Like where is that shit at?
Like on a main concourse, man. It's like right there, right where the beer garden used to be.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
It's
called
the Sun Deck. It's the Sun Deck.
They call it the Coca-Cola Sun Deck.
The south end, right?
North end.
So it's right on the end of the field
of the end zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Raw happened. I watched it the other day. Now, honestly, the entire talk of Raw has been... Put that mic between y'all. The entire talk of Raw was Becky Lynch, of course. She took over both shows. She took over wrestling this week, to be honest. So, this is probably going to be a mostly Becky Lynch episode. Because she kind of took over.
If we didn't have to do, I was going
to
come in here and just break the rules.
Are they going
to
sell that shirt?
The man does whatever he wants.
Are they going to sell that The Man shirt? I buy it.
They already do, and it sucks.
Yeah. Why?
Why? Because it just says The Man, or because
it says The Man,
or because it's the whack ass material that they make shirts out of.
You can't just wear a shirt around that says The Man on it. For one, people are going to look at you. You're kind of a douche. Just as The Man,
but
I don't know.
But that's the
you think they should explain more?
Anyway?
Yeah. Becky Lynch's logo in the back or something?
Well,
I don't know.
So here's the problem: is the her logo is a period at the end of Man.
Oh,
so
it's like that R.
So
yeah.
So the Man is at the word Man is actually off center, which is really screws up the shirt. I hate it.
I haven't seen it available. So
I haven't seen it.
It's on WWE Custom Tees Shop.
I don't like that because they fucking don't have my size.
Well, I think what Josh is saying is right though too. It's one of those things like it looks cool on her because it's her shirt. But it like sometimes you don't think about that when shirts are cool. Like I want a Becky Lynch shirt all the time, and there's always just something little about it that I look at and I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna wear that once I buy it. Like,
you can't wear a shirt that says Last Kicker on it.
Yeah, well maybe I can.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Am I the only one that found Becky Lynch like wildly hot with a face full of blood?
No, you are not the only one.
Okay.
She was
hotter. With
dumb
a
hot. I was like, yeah, I think. Like, oh.
Well, she looked like a goddamn badass.
I was like, November bye.
It's the super like badassery of her just like taking it and just being like, what? Give me some more. Like,
but
let's
just
go.
Like you said, like you know? Badassery, and I think it's just like it's like the Becky Lynch that we've always been promised. But never got. Like, that's what her image is. Like, she's the Irish last kicker. She's supposed to be, like, gladiator style almost.
Yeah. What did she say? Irish war paint? She's like, this is nothing. Irish war paint.
So since we haven't got that and we're getting it now, everybody's just like, yeah, this is what we wanted or expected the whole time out of her.
It's not even that with just specifically her. I think it's with any woman. Like, it's one of those things. One of the most iconic images in indie wrestling is Candice LeRae with a face full of blood at PWG.
Crimson Mask!
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of those things that there's some...
Or the one that Taya Valkyrie had.
Yeah, yeah, right. I mean, it's just one of those things that women, you know, it's badass. I mean, women don't necessarily go that hard to have a match that's that brutal, and it's also very cool the way that Becky handled it. Mm-hmm. You almost saw, like, when she realized she was bleeding, there was a period of time where she was like, oh shit, something's really wrong. But then she was just about it.
Let's do it.
She was like flinging the blood off her hands.
At the crowd. Yes! Yeah, it was dope. And then there was that little like Naomi ass slap when she like Naomi walked by her and just couldn't take about how badass she was being.
Yeah,
like, you know,
she's like, yeah, get it.
But check this out, because you were just saying like it's not just that, it's like women, but it's not all women, because all women aren't going to get away with that. If a woman gets like cracked in the head with something and she's bleeding and she can't take it in the way that Becky took it, you're not gonna be like, that's a badass. You're gonna be like, oh my god, what the fuck just happened?
Right.
Like when Brock Lesnar gave Randy Orton that elbow and I thought, oh shit, something fucked up in this match.
Yeah, and it was.
And that's when I thought Brock went face.
And you know what, like, and that was my thing too. So color on a woman in WWE, not a thing you normally see. We all know it was because of an inadvertent punch to the face.
And even if you watch it on YouTube, it's black and white.
Let's talk
because they don't want you to see.
We don't see color much on anybody
anymore.
Well,
not anymore, but let's talk about this. There has been a lot of hate flung at Nia Jax because of the hit. Way too much. Yeah. Like, I don't believe that was intentional.
But, it, you know, Brent and I were talking about it. And when you see the fan video of it, she just straight up punched her right in the face.
Maybe I didn't see that cut of it.
Because I thought it was a back elbow when she was pulling it back.
She kind
of
ran a punch.
Punch in the mug.
But it kind of looks like, and I mean, we're not there in the ring, but we don't know if Becky threw a punch that was too hard. Because that used to be like old school rules. Like, oh, exactly. Like, you hit me.
Becky was punching her in the back of the head. She was punching her in the back of the head before that.
I know, and Nia was fighting somebody else, and then she just turned around and gave her that one.
It may have been an instinct. I don't think there was any kind of...
Yeah. I think it was just in the midst of the moment. Yeah,
I just think that wasn't being able to throw a good working punch there. Like, but my thing was,
everybody
can't
throw
those
Ric Flairs.
Yeah, that
punching the string.
Right.
That wasn't laying it in stiff. That was just
no.
A
it looked like
swing.
A real fight.
Well, that's because it was. There was no pullback on that.
Like
a lot of times, you can see him. You know, open the hand or pull back to.
And even we talked about Nia's tweet. She kind of made it funny, like, oh, nobody's going to ask me about my hand. And she took a picture of her hand.
I loved it.
She was bruised, too, meaning, yes, it was a real punch.
Yeah.
Like, that's not supposed to happen in wrestling. So
if Ronda took that punch, she'd be knocked out again.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know if it was all nose or if she caught some of Becky's, like, mouth or something, because it was, like, a scratch on her
She could have got her in the mouth or
something.
You know
what, though? Regardless, it's probably going to go down as one of the most iconic moments in the company's history.
Throughout this podcast, we've been saying... Becky 316, like
that's her Austin moment, bro.
That's what I said.
That was it.
That was her. That was Austin passing out to Brett. Mm-hmm. Was her posing with a face full of blood.
That moment was better than her winning the match on Sunday. That moment was one of those moments that you can't replicate
because
you can't get it back.
And you just have to run with it.
And
like
yeah.
if you, nobody would have pulled the trigger on that blood on her.
Right.
Nobody.
But it's like going back to what you were saying.
No,
right.
They wouldn't.
They said she broke her face. Most likely she broke an orbital bone or something, because that's a real bad break.
It's up at the bridge of the nose. It'll cause all that bruising,
right.
too. And you can see where the cut is.
Yeah.
Where the it's probably where the nose actually broke.
Yeah, she
right in
take some
in like at that tear duct.
She's gonna have a badass black eye. It's just gonna make her look even more badass.
Now, with what you're saying, a lot of women might have taken, even men too, would have broken their nose like that and rolled off to the side and had the ref come over and help them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You like, say that. Yeah. I remember clearly seeing, who did it happen to? Was it John Cena.
Oh, yeah. I'm Seth not saying
Rollins
everybody.
Broke his nose, yeah. And they continued the match. Like, right. We got Finn Balor getting dislocated. Like, I'm not saying everybody.
Well, no, but there was a melee in the ring, is what he's saying. Somebody could have rolled away.
Finger and leave.
Right.
You know? Somebody could have rolled away, because there's like 10 people in the ring.
Right,
like,
exactly. It I think been that's an the easy point. Thing. Yeah. The difference is that the great ones, the people that are those main eventers, those superstars, they take that moment and run with it.
We're saying the same side of the same thing. That's what I was just saying. Like, it's not every girl that's going to be badass with that blood. It's like, oh, girl, who got knocked out from the kicks.
I don't know if Lana would have took that in.
Becky, be like, God, Becky it, took it on the moment and literally propelled herself.
You're talking about Liv, and Liv tried even to do it, and she almost got herself killed going back out there and being concussed and trying to do something.
But you
got to
remember, she kept going. So remember this, that it was not scripted for her to get busted open.
Hell no.
But it was scripted for Becky to have the last moment of that
absolutely.
Segment.
Stand there like that.
So she couldn't roll out and be like, I'm done. You know what I mean? It was her segment.
Not on the fly.
To finish. Fly. Yeah, she had to finish that show.
But even then, she didn't, even with having a concussion, she like did better in the moment than like most would, knowing the script.
That's what I'm saying.
She her just instinct alone, even at that point, was still just so badass and still so perfect. Like,
it was.
If somebody just broke my nose, I wouldn't have did that.
You know what, though? It also could have been like, she would have been concussed, but as soon as she saw that blood, it could have been like, oh, that's another level. Because when you see yourself bleeding, that changes things.
Yeah, but the blood of, like, cutting yourself or blading.
No, like, this is real.
Exactly. They're not really. They're in the moment because they're aware. Because they're like, oh, I did this. I know what's going to happen.
Yes. She was bleeding out of her eye. Like, it looked like she was bleeding.
She was just flat out bleeding.
The cuts at that bridge of the nose.
It's all of this that's going to build
and there was,
her legacy.
The and there was that, nothing.
Like, this was a real hit.
Yeah.
It was real blood. Like, all this shit happened for like real.
Yeah.
And she just kept on going.
And there was nothing. Like, there was nothing that could have been done.
She's the woman's champ. She's the people's champ right now.
She's the fucking man.
She's the man. She's the man.
As much as I was disappointed that she wouldn't be fighting Ronda, this is bigger than anything that could have happened in that match.
Do we get a match?
She doesn't have to. She doesn't have to lose because I said she was probably going to take
the
loss.
Won.
But this is a bigger win than any of that.
Further, like you're talking about
now, they don't have to stunt that by making her lose.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I was gonna say like. You talk about her legacy, like, this is going to be parlayed into the next thing.
Yeah.
There's talk about this being the main event of WrestleMania at this point.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of buzz about that going around on the internet right now.
I was hoping for Royal Rumble, but
I believe that shit.
That would be great, but this is a Mania match now. Oh, no, like, maybe.
Before, I used to think that it was only going to be, like, one option for Mania.
Yeah.
But now it's like, it's even a situation where they can end up triple threatening. It's Charlotte.
And they're going to have so Becky much time Ronda. To build this. Because we don't know how long Becky's going to be out for.
Right.
But Becky's going to be on TV talking
back,
that shit.
And when she comes back, she's going to be coming back for what's hers.
There's other cool implications here, too. Because in a way, with what happened, they kind of reunited Becky and Charlotte a little bit, right? Just a little bit. Wait. Then you have the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen
which has been talked about.
For WrestleMania. Where they might not all be in the match or anything, but they could be there backing each other up. And, you know, then you have that Sasha Bailey crossover with them and everything. And it could just... Even if it's not that, there's just a lot of cool things they could do with this story and this rivalry going forward. This could be huge for them. It kind of sucks that they're on different shows in a way. Like, it's good. That's the thing that's going to impede them from really doing it. But that could also make the rivalry even cooler because they're, you know.
There'll be crossover, though.
The crossover is going to, it won't be as much. So it won't get beat up as much.
Well, let's not forget, I mean, it's not that long before we shake things up again with a superstar shakeup. So, I mean, just building.
But if they're both champs, though,
they won't
champs.
But they won't. I'm saying somebody will get moved over so that they got to.
Well, sure.
Look at how fast they changed championships.
Right.
That's our next point.
We need to talk about Ronda's shitty Instagram post regarding.
Yeah. No, you know what?
Can you read that for the people?
That is not a face post.
I actually wanted to talk about the social media.
Can we?
Becky Lynch wants a picture, man.
All right, Derek, can you read that wall of text for us?
So Rhonda posted a picture of a Nate Diaz quote that said, "If you can't make it to war, you lose the war. You ain't about this life." And Rhonda posted this long thing, but it said, "I'm sorry to hear the millennial man will not be showing up for her legally arranged ass-whooping on November 18th at the Staples Center. Unfortunately, now everyone knows if someone hauls off and punches you for real, your face implodes. I suggest you keep practicing your..."
Whose face imploded?
Right, right. "I suggest you keep practicing your tough guy faces in the mirror. Should be very effective physical therapy. And have fun watching Korean soap operas on Netflix or whatever the hell millennial man does with their free time." And then there's all this other shit, but that's
awesome, though. Y'all editor about that?
Yeah, so
they're just playing
it's
a game.
Not very
Becky's
well written,
doing,
but
Becky's been doing the same thing on Twitter the whole time.
They're both talking mad shit. Going.
To me, they're like talking to different audiences. Like Becky's talking to all of us. Rhonda's talking to the casuals. She's talking to people who aren't even wrestling fans. She's talking to people who are Rhonda fans.
Right. Well, you know
there's
what?
There's a lot of them out there,
and that's and that's not necessarily her fault because most people are going to know her because there's some people that
bigger
don't
than
care.
Wrestling.
They don't care about her as a WWE superstar.
Right?
They want she's Ronda Rousey, former UFC movie star.
It makes sense, but they're talking two different languages. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
They really are. I get it.
But they're both. It's interesting to see them like calling each other bitch back and forth. Like I'm like, oh,
that's weird.
I don't think so. That's something women do anyway.
But how many can you allow on PGTV? In the company though, like to see them on their official Twitter pages.
Yeah, you don't.
Jabbing back and forth. You don't see the guys like talking shit like that to each other.
Roman done called Brock a bitch every time he done came out and addressed Brock. What do you
not
mean?
On social media.
And Brock doesn't seem like the person.
And that doesn't even call him a bitch naturally. Like that was like
and they're men too.
Brock, you're
we all know the guys get different treatment. The guys have way more liberties.
But Brock doesn't seem like the person who takes being called a bitch lightly. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't think like this is. They know.
Question.
What, they
for
know
the
what this
yes.
is.
Question for the room. All right. What is the minimum amount of money it would take for you to call Brock Lesnar a bitch to his face?
To
go.
His face?
Minimum
to,
amount?
The minimum amount of money you would take to do it. How much?
I do it like
15 billion?
I said, bitch.
You'd die. I've seen what happened when PCO slapped your chest.
Are we low
Brock would murder you.
99,000 just to lowball Josh.
Go.
99,000. It's going to take a cool meal.
You know what? Shoot, I'm thinking about what the hospital bills are going to cost.
Dog.
It's going to be a lot. So,
say your medical's covered. Your medical's covered.
Insurance? Okay, it's all covered.
Your medical's covered. Dude, the money you're going to pocket.
Are the cameras running? Oh, we know we got to have cameras running.
Yeah, yeah. It's
TMZ cameras are running.
It's TMZ's cameras
are
running.
It's not going to be a good one. It's going to be a world hip hop.
It's
like,
doc.
It's right. Gonna be
you're going to get world stars by Brock Lesnar.
I think I need to change my
world
price.
Star.
It's going to have a disclaimer. Warning, graphic content.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
A murder.
But someone's going to spot shadow it. Like, they'll circle you and arrow you.
Oh, that's yeah.
Forget Brock. That's Mega Ran.
I'm going to need $100 million.
I wouldn't even call Billy Gunn a bitch at this point. Like, he's huge. Right? So, I don't know,
you
man.
You got to think about, like, wrestling rules don't apply. If you call Brock Lesnar a bitch
outside
in the airport, he's going to punch you in your face.
No, one shot. Like, right. One shot from Brock.
I saw how far across the ring Brock punched Heath Herring. He punched a fighter across the goddamn octagon.
Another fighter. Not a civilian, a fighter.
He's going to knock me across the country.
He's going to knock your face to the
Jesus.
Back of your head. You're going to be looking out the back of
you know what?
I need a million.
I was going to say a mil too, Dave.
Yeah, that cool mil.
A billion.
A bill.
A billion.
I lowballed all of you.
I was just curious. I just wanted to know.
That's almost like, do y'all remember that contest WWE had where it was like, what happened? A fan had to take a move to get tickets to, was it Mania or was it Rumble or something like that? It might have even been SummerSlam.
Someone got hurt, right?
It was a contest. You had to take like a splash from somebody.
Right.
So it was like,
nah. Yeah, we've seen it.
and they did the shit just for tickets, so.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Some of those moves I look at, I just looked at, I was watching, listening to Bruce Pritchard, and they did a Rikishi episode. And do you guys remember when Rikishi splashed Val Venus from the top of the cage?
Yes.
This was the craziest. Watch that on YouTube.
Can I get one of those?
And Val didn't get hurt at all. He's like, Val trusted me. He stayed still. And he didn't get hurt, but man, it looks like he kills Val Venus. Like, it's
That's
so
crazy.
Crazy.
Did Rikishi say how many people he did hurt, though?
No. He wasn't on the podcast.
Was that like a Raw or was it a pay-per-view?
Pay-per-view, No Mercy.
Pretty safe worker.
Oh, no, I'm not saying
top of the cage?
Yes,
Google it.
Or YouTube it.
Rikishi, Splash, Valvinus. It's No Mercy 99, I think. It's incredible.
But with Rikishi doing that, like, Rikishi's got a lot of give to him. Like, it's kind of like having like a block of Jell-O drop
on
him.
No, a 400-pound block of Jell-O.
That's not how that works.
It like forms around.
It's gonna explode. I would like to know how people took those running like ass hits to the face when they would sit in the corner. Like, how do you take that?
It's a little secret.
Or even when he's
got to
hit
up against a pad and
when
you got to duck your head the right way.
Chest, bro. That's a large man just sitting on his chest.
And they asked, did anybody ever like refuse the stink face? And he was like, no, because Vince did it. And he always said, look, if I do it, you always better.
How you gonna tell Vince no? Well, yeah. Unless you're John Cena and Daniel
do
Bryan.
Anything that he wouldn't do.
So, yep,
there you go.
Including getting thrown off the top of a Hell in a Cell.
He'd only have his son do that. That's
yeah, he's like, I'll make my son do
it. Vince is like the perfect like boss to be like, follow my
do what I do.
It's not do what I say, not what I do. It's like it's I said it and
do
I
what
did
I would
it.
Do.
So,
let's talk new champs. We had a
Daniel Bryan voluntarily punched by Brock Lesnar for free.
Two weeks after bowing out of Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
He gets a rematch against AJ Styles.
Which makes no sense.
Beats him. And then arguably turns heel, maybe starts stomping the crap out of him.
I said, why is he being heel at the beginning of the night?
Yes.
After the match, it
was he was already heel.
With the kicking of the face that I'm here to hit your face, kick your face.
But he was...
Kicking of the face.
He was getting pissed off about something nobody, like, no face would get pissed off of. Because AJ Styles was saying, you know, I beat the best, like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And Daniel's like,
Don't say my name.
He's like, I said you were the best. And then he's like, Daniel Bryan, you're the best. And then he punches AJ. It like made no sense.
Hey, but no, that's like, I like that shit.
It was disrespectful. I mean, keep my name out your mouth.
Yeah. People know that I like the heels, but he was already doing that when he was like mocking AJ a couple weeks ago, right? With the like too sweet stuff. Like
I think he had this in mind for a little while. So I don't know. Like me, I'm like the biggest Daniel Bryan mark in the world.
Okay.
I fucking love Daniel Bryan. He's my favorite wrestler ever. I got woken up this morning. I saw stuff on Twitter. I was like, you know, like I wasn't looking for it by any means, but like I had an idea of what happened.
Yeah, it's hard
so
to
I'm
miss.
Like, all right, I need to watch this. So 7 a.m. I turn on fucking SmackDown before I start the workday. I'm like, I'm watching this. I need to figure out what happened. And as it went on, I got excited, like a little bit teary eyed when like they announced the championship match was happening. I'm like, oh shit, this is real.
About to happen.
This is real. And then the match is going on. I'm like, I'm getting emotional. I'm like, oh my God, this is fantastic. It's going. Then the referee gets knocked out. I'm like, what the? That kick to the nuts, like, you might as well kick me in the nuts at that point. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm going to come back around. But in that moment, I was like,
why,
man, Daniel? Why?
It was that. It was that like, moment.
Why, Vince? Why?
Fucking got me.
But that's when
it didn't make any sense.
I know I get what all of you guys are saying, not to the extent because I missed like Daniel Bryan's whole run when he was like doing the shit before. Yeah. But I know what he means to people. But that's the fucking tug right there. That's what it is. It's like the best. If you look at Kurt Angle, if you look at like, that's what I'm saying that John Cena is missing in his career. Like, I understand, like, you're selling so much merch, and it's for the kids, but the heel turn, you got to have the heel run, and then come
back. He was a heel.
He already did the heel run.
Cena did the heel run.
The rap shit wasn't either. Y'all talking about that?
No. Initially it was.
Oh, you're talking about Daniel Bryan. You're talking about, like, with the Wyatts?
Back when he was a champion on SmackDown.
Okay, like I said, I didn't see
when he had the no chant rather than the yes chant.
Started the whole no and yes thing. Yeah, it was annoying.
That when he got with Kane when they were doing the hell
no. No, this is way before that.
Before that.
This is back when he was claiming to be a vegan.
But yeah, he was like being annoying, like the same way like CM
they
Punk.
Are.
Oh, he was trying to do the CM Punk shit.
Yeah, he was trying to be like, you know, like I'm better than you because I am vegan.
I'm better. Okay.
What I want to know is
that's why he lost to Sheamus and that's
because I read like I read this was like this may have been planned, but I'm like it doesn't make any sense for like with AJ. Like is AJ hurt? Is AJ about to go on a vacation?
That part I don't get, and also losing it the way they did, it makes you wonder if it was going to happen at Crown Jewel.
I personally was shocked by
how they might be speeding it.
Wait a minute. Well,
but it still makes no sense.
Maybe it was the Crown Jewel.
That might have been the Crown Jewel finish, and he was going to turn heel in Saudi.
But they should have done it at TLC.
Well, they could have done
it. Because we don't get. I'm sorry, you're not going to get this out, but we don't get it. Like, the belt changes on a regular show. Because it don't happen that often. Like, AJ won it at a house show.
Yeah.
So you got to think about, like,
but
they need to do it sometime so that people aren't like, oh, I'm only going to see this at a pay-per-view.
The problem is, you're you know, it goes back to, you know, the old Dusty Rhodes, Paul Heyman thing. Where's the money? You give a couple days to promote Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar, and you also have a freshly healed Daniel Bryan going against Brock. You want him against a stronger face to really cement that heel thing. It just seems like it's a missed opportunity for timing.
Yeah, I have a real interesting perspective on this whole thing, and the reason why is because I kicked around a funny idea like 3 weeks ago with my wife, and that was when we were watching a Bella's match, and I was saying it's really interesting that they're going to have Brie Bella be heel and Daniel Bryan be face.
We said this on the podcast.
They did.
Well,
this,
no,
yeah,
hold on. I'm just saying. Wait, I know we kind of roughly got around this, but I was just saying, like, with the popularity of Miz, it would be funny if they turned Miz face and had Daniel Bryan go heel and to be with Brie. And it was at the time.
Is it happening?
At the time, it was like, ha, 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 you know, because, and now it's kind of happening that way.
I don't know, because we don't know. We don't know if this is the firm.
I'm gonna say.
Okay, we'll let you get your hot take out. We don't know if this is a firm heel turn. This is Daniel Bryan was desperate to get the title, maybe for whatever reason.
He was so evil,
and he's mad.
He attacked him after.
Yeah, he didn't have to attack him after.
He held his arms and kicked him in the face.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
I got like Emperor Palpatine at the end.
So does this mean now that officially? Okay.
If Daniel Bryan is healed now, do you see Daniel Bryan and Miz tagging together?
No.
And getting back together.
No.
Nobody in the room see that?
Wait, no. They're co-captains right now, right?
They're not.
No, Daniel Bryan's not on the team anymore.
Oh, he's off the team.
They had already kicked
Daniel
Bryan
off the team because he won the title, or is he already before
well,
that?
His funeral is already as well. He's going to die in the match to Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Brock's going to suplex him into a casket, wheel him out, it's over.
Oh, so my other question was, are we now going to get face Brock Lesnar?
No.
Against heel.
I don't
think
Bryan
exists.
If Daniel Bryan is heel.
I don't think Brock can do that.
I think Brock's going to get cheered and Bryan's going to get
booed. Braun was face and Braun wasn't face. Braun was face because the crowd made him face, not because of the shit he was doing. Everything
Daniel Bryan's going to get booed.
Everything he did was like, man, you're murdering people.
Get these hands was face. Come on.
This is Survivor Series, face. Man.
Getting the chant over is a face move.
Everything Paul Heyman says is a fucking.
This is
a
LA
shirt.
Crowd, man.
Paul Heyman is a face.
Survivor
we
series.
Love Paul Heyman. Nobody boos him.
And we hate Brock Lesnar?
Yes.
I don't know. Since Brock came back, I've seen him all the time since he's came back.
People are not cheering Brock Lesnar in this.
Right.
This is like a temporary cheering for Daniel Bryan.
I bet he gets
Bryan.
More cheer than Daniel Bryan does.
I don't know.
All he did was stomp AJ. He's a champ.
And
we know he's going to show up.
I'm sitting here wearing a fucking Undisputed Era shirt.
Bad guys.
This was a struggle because originally I was like, dude, I'm going to wear my Daniel Bryan shirt all day. I'm going to wear it to the podcast tonight. It's going to be great. And then, like, I couldn't do it. And I'm wearing a heel shirt in the end, you know?
Right.
So when it comes down to it, I think for me personally and for a lot of Daniel Bryan fans out there, there's that initial shock. But then we're going to come around.
Right. If Daniel Bryan points his two fingers to the sky and raises his hand, the entire arena is going to say yes.
We're going to do it even if he doesn't do that.
I don't know about that.
So if he's going to have to stop the chant.
I disagree.
The chant's so over.
I disagree with you.
The chant's over way more than AJ and anybody else.
So if Daniel Bryan comes out, no music.
If
Daniel Bryan comes out, no music.
That's a bet.
What happens then?
You lunch.
Wait, okay, you asked a good question. What did you say?
If Daniel Bryan comes out, no music.
The crowd will still do the yes.
Oh, wow, that's super heel right there.
Out, like Ciampa.
I know, that's what I'm saying, like Ciampa.
That's hard. That's fucking hard.
That's a heel move. That's a strong heel move.
But here's the problem. That's been done too much lately. Ziggler was doing it. Ciampa's been doing it. You can't do it again.
Here's another thing that I find brilliant about this, though, despite, you know, its timing is weird. Everything is weird about it. But you have to admit at times you've thought that the yes chants are getting a little old.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It's getting a little dated. It's getting a little past. Thank you, Josh. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's one of those things where you just think that, like, I think he knows that, and he's trying to be ahead of his gimmick kind
of. Trying to spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, stale. You know what I mean? Getting stale.
That's what I thought about the Usos when they did, when they changed. Because I was saying that the Usos were getting stale. I was like, man, this face paint, dancing Usos is getting stale. And I feel like they were trying to be ahead of that. Like, oh, we need to do something different with that. So I definitely feel like, yeah, Daniel Bryan.
So do you think this will start a no chant or just no chant at all?
And I also was going to say, like,
no chant at all, probably.
I also think that what they did at Crown Jewel was to shit on CM Punk so people stop talking about CM Punk all the time, because CM Punk was the best in the world. That was his. That was his.
Man, Crown Jewel is them shitting on us.
So if Shane McMahon is now the best in the world, you're not going to talk about best in the world that much, because then it's going to be Shane McMahon.
It's kind of like David Arquette winning the WCW title in a way. It ruins the championship, the name best in the world. It's true though. It's really.
By the way, but David Arquette's going to die.
He is. Yeah, David Arquette is going to die. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, he's about to get murdered.
David Arquette is going up against Nick Gage.
He's got Cage. Oh, come on.
Gage? Yeah,
Gage. No, Gage. Nick Gage.
Well, that was
he's gonna get murdered.
And that was it. He that might was a get David murdered. Arquette tweet, by the way. He's like, oh, I thought I was fighting my cousin.
I thought I was fighting my cousin.
I'm gonna die.
No, not Nicolas Cage, the fucking Lucha Underground.
Brian Cage.
But David Arquette did make a joke that he thought he signed on to fight Nick Cage. He tweeted out, I thought I was. Signing on to fight my old ex-brother-in-law.
What if celebrity deathmatch was a real thing? Like, celebrity
it might be.
I wish. We're about to
it's close
there.
To be.
We're about to get there.
So, any other Bryan Danielson hot takes? Overall disappointment around the room. I agree. I think that the timing of it is bad. It just seems like, oh, we made a mistake. Let's fix it. But let's remember last year, right before, literally, it was the SmackDown before. I think it's the same exact thing. Right before Survivor Series, Jinder lost to AJ. It was like right before they were like, "Oh, let's switch it up." So it might have been the same thing where they didn't want to sell this match for a long time. You know, I don't know.
But the thing was, I think that through ramblings, wasn't Brock Lesnar advocating for a different fight other than Jinder?
We don't know, but we assume he didn't trust Jinder in the ring, probably.
Right.
Wow, so do you look think this at gender now. Again,
Brock wanted to be the only steroided out monster in the ring.
Can y'all just think of, like, WWE put all the chips in on him at one time.
Oh, yeah.
And look at him now.
Hey, he's making a lot of money.
He got in the ring with Brock during Raw. He did. I was like, wait, look, gender. He had a moment.
I was going to ask you guys this question. Did it surprise anybody that Daniel Bryan won the title based on him not appearing at Crown Jewel based on his stance on it? Like, I thought they would
punish him.
Well, no, because he put the WWE in an awkward position by pulling out based on the beliefs of the situation.
His pullout game is strong.
His pullout game is mad strong. But I was just saying,
very surprised.
I thought honestly that he was going to have some sort of setback based on that.
But Vince can go either way on those things. If you stand up for something to Vince, a lot of times he's one of those guys who
might fuck
respect
with you more.
He might fuck with. But more on that. He'll respect you for taking that stand. But if you cow to him all the time, he just doesn't have that respect.
Like, oh, that Daniel Bryan is son of a bitch. It's just not like him.
And then, like, I can say that shit about Dolph Ziggler, man. Like, I don't know what's going on with that guy's career. Like, the ups and downs. Like, it was one time where we were like, oh, he's negotiating contracts. They got to give him this title back. Remember all that shit when that stuff was going on? Then he just, like, he's getting shitted on again. But I heard somebody talking about this on online that they said Finn Balor is the new who was I just talking about?
Dolph Ziggler.
That he's the new Dolph Ziggler in the position that he's in. That if you want to put somebody over, you put him against Finn Balor.
I hope
not. Finn Balor is just treading water in the same position, and everybody.
But we know how things move so fast in this. Like, literally. He could win the Royal Rumble, and then we're like, oh, all right, here we go. You know what I mean? Like, he could be fast-tracked instantly.
I have a feeling Vince uses a lot of homophobic slurs when talking about Finn Balor backstage.
You're probably not wrong about that.
That Balor Forever shirt doesn't help either.
No, I mean, I don't know, because I would think, honestly, based on just being progressive and the way that he, the stuff he stands for, that Finn Balor right now would be the perfect person for that. You know, plus he puts his dick out there on Twitter almost every single day.
You don't get everybody
putting that commitment.
Would be the perfect person for what?
No, just for being a push. For a push, you know, for a main event.
He needs a rematch. He never got a title shot.
Against Roman.
Roman beat him.
If Arizona can have a bisexual female senator, damn it, WWE can have a strong.
Kristen Sinema's bisexual?
She is.
Yeah.
Good for her.
She is.
So wait. WWE can have a strong bisexual character. You talking about Finn?
Yeah, I'm talking about anybody. I don't care.
Well, anybody. But yes, isn't especially someone who stands
Sasha
up
Bailey,
for...
Because Sasha and Bayley are like one step away from doing it.
Well, they tried to do it with Finn. It was character at one point. Man, that guy's wild.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
I mean, whatever.
I mean, it's fun. I mean, the flamboyance is a little crazy, but like he's super athletic and does great moves.
I never got a game fight off of Finn.
Nah.
Is androgynous. That's
Gold Dust. Like, wouldn't Gold Dust be the sexually ambiguous one of the company?
He's androgynous.
He doesn't even get on TV.
He was the originator of that shit.
Licking ropes and shit.
It was out there.
Dusty Rose son, baby.
So, okay. Are we ready to move into the Survivor Series card?
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to do War Games first?
Okay, I was about to put you on blast for not even knowing the Undisputed Era's logo, and then you would talk about the card for NXT. Let's do it. You got the card ready?
No, but I got
bam.
I got this for us. This is how you kick off the War Games.
Oh shoot! OC, shout out to OC.
So we got
the in here.
Yes.
What we got?
The Undisputed Era. Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Roderick Strong versus the War Raiders, Ricochet, and Pete Dunne in a War Games match.
The hardest
match of the weekend. Fantastic. That's what I'm going to say.
I agree. That could steal the show.
I don't know, man. The entire card. We're going to get through the card.
Yeah. Yeah. Great card.
But every single damn match, including this.
The funny thing about this is watching any old War Games match and realizing how awful they are.
Oh, they were so bad.
Yeah, like, thank God for this new era of athletic memories.
Oh, yeah.
I will also say that I
hate the name War Raiders.
Oh, me too. I'm not a fan of that.
It's so trash.
I think it's such a lame, way to try to build up
their
old...
What they had,
They're big on that though. NXT at the very least, we've complained in the past about them bringing people over that were charismatic or had something going on already, and drastically changing them. So I'm glad that they're at least attempting to keep the personality that people that have worked hard on
to
somewhere
build.
Else to build.
Almost everyone.
Well, yeah, no, lately, yeah. but yeah. It's not yeah. something late, that they late, did.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
I appreciate that they're basically the same characters. The name is just trash. It's like Braun and them being the War Dogs, and they stopped calling themselves that because the name is trash.
Like, the Raiders would have been better, just calling themselves the Raiders than War Raiders.
And
like,
so then why did Ricochet keep his
name? Nobody wants to be a Raider.
Why did, you know, Adam Cole
because
get to keep his name?
It's all based on
their
owner,
name
in
Lucha Underground.
It's all
ownership. There's that. There's like some negative
connotations
against War Machine
with War Machine, with the one
with the name?
MMA guy,
the MMA guy that beats the hell out of
Christy Mack, acclaimed Beth Thespian. Just want to throw that out there.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
all right,
award winner.
True.
I think it was more concerned with Marvel.
Rock has the dictionary
I thought it was Marvel.
Marvel may have the trademark.
We can't forget about Marvel having the trademark.
Being encyclopedia Bart.
We can go to AVN together. I got the plug on the AVN press passes, dog. I'm just saying.
That's a funny thing to think about when it comes to like their names, because of the fact that they do have to like make toys and stuff, and then all of that dives into that realm of already being copyrighted.
Well, does it have anything
in toys? Are we talking about porn stars or wrestling?
With Marvel too?
Yeah, we're not talking about porn stars.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Just say that. I was saying Marvel's got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
War Machine toys would be like, oh, it's the Marvel War Machine, or is it the, you know?
We don't talk about the other War Machine. That guy's a dickhead.
We've obviously seen WWE lose lawsuits with people about branding.
Hey man, they gave up WWF. Man, damn it.
They gave that up.
But it's still one of my favorite
they
shirts
fight
I've
that?
Ever
Nobody's
seen
talking
Why
about the Wildlife Fund anymore.
Years.
Was it 10 years?
That was a 10-year lawsuit.
And Vince was like, oh, fuck this shit.
They had it before them, though, right? Wasn't that the thing?
No, so it there was something with the timing from the WWWF.
Oh, okay.
Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
So there was something there, and then it was when WWE went to go get the trademark, I think something, or WWF was trying to get it.
It lapsed.
In Europe or something. There was something with the European ones. Mm-hmm. So rather than try to have two names or whatever and keep fighting the lawsuit, Vince just said, we'll just rebrand.
Well, yeah, because once WCW was done, they had nobody to compete with anyway. They're like,
right,
fuck it, we'll call it Vince's House of Fun.
I have noticed I'm like, that they shit don't was the blur. Same thing at a long time.
They don't blur the old logo like they used to as much.
No, something Bruce Pritchard had a conversation about this on the podcast, and I think it had something to do with it depends on the timing of when it was. Like, pre a certain date, they don't have to blur it, but after the challenge came in from them, they had to blur it.
So it's like during that 10-year period of time when the lawsuit was...
You know what? Yeah, something like that. It sounds like the wildlife, whatever, they're just a bunch of haters because everybody's going to associate WWF with the wrestling.
Forever. But I think Vince also was like, because he had bigger ideas or whatever to turn, like he wanted to turn it into entertainment. He wanted it to be like not wrestling anymore.
Yo, did you know there was supposed to be a casino in Vegas?
Yep.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
A WWF themed casino. I just found that out.
And it was supposed to be a place for legends.
Where I'm pulling down like the wrestlers off or something.
Yeah. Well, what they were going to do is they were going to like try to like hire the legends as like greeters.
There would be greeters.
That would have been cool. Would that have been?
Hey, are they going to work it?
Yeah. I'm really disappointed.
Everything was worked in there.
I'm really disappointed on how this conversation about the War Raiders has gone down.
Oh my God. It really has.
We care about the War Raiders.
What did I say before we started recording? Tangents happen, and we go off the beaten path.
This is why we do 100-minute episodes, folks. So you don't get this much content anywhere else, brother.
Right. War Raiders and casinos.
So, and I think somebody just brought the idea to Vince, like, yo, if we change it, the ad campaign is going to be genius. Get the F out. And he's like, oh, I love it. Let's do it. I think that's, they were like, this is perfect.
Yeah. Get the F out.
Get the F out. What's the rest of the card? Any predictions on that match? I mean, it's just going to be a spot fest. I don't really know.
Undisputed Era has to come out on top.
I would hope so.
It's got to be teamwork.
The other teamwork team is just cobbled together in the last couple of weeks.
Right, like, Ricochet and Pete Dunne don't like each other. War Raiders are just going to be chasing around Kyle O'Reilly playing imaginary guitar. Yep.
Okay, so we got, Undisputed Era wins
great
that.
Great match. Going to be a great match.
All right, so we got Tommaso Ciampa, NXT champion, versus the androgynous Velveteen Dream.
We saw the very first time these two guys got in the ring together here in Phoenix when NXT came through on the house show circuit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Fucking match of the night. One of the best matches I've seen all year.
Yeah.
And that was like their first time.
I remember Josh talking about it. Like, he's like, it was such a weird pairing, but then it was awesome.
But it was a great match.
And I'm guessing they've done it many times since in house shows.
They might have it
perfected, ready.
Yeah.
This match is going to fucking kill.
That might still this is going to be the match of the weekend. I don't know. They're all the match of the weekend.
You know, the best thing about NXT, and we've talked about it before, is that the NXT cards are so small and minimal, but they deliver. And, like, it's like, then when you go on and watch the next day and WWE main card have, you know, 12, 14 matches on there between the pre-show and the card.
That's the thing. With TakeOver, there's the potential for all five matches to be five-star.
Yeah, exactly.
And that, and what you were saying, that hurts.
Right.
Because you have that high on a Saturday, and then Survivor Series happens, and you're like,
well, not only that, but it's like, by comparison, you watch, you know, Survivor Series, and you're like, why do we need this many matches? Like, I just watched a great show that had five matches.
True, it makes you question the format. Yeah. Like, why is so many matches going on?
I will say this much, there's not nearly as many matches on this card, I want to say, as there was in previous Survivor Series matches.
Correct.
Not yet. They're going to come up with three more.
Yeah,
in the next 2 days.
Stash them in there.
Before Sunday.
Does Rusev have a match? They'll come up with something.
What's the pre-show match? We'll get there.
So, what are y'all thoughts on the match?
Which one?
Ciampa versus Dream.
Who's your picks?
I don't know if Dream's ready for the title
I don't know if it's Dream's time yet either.
Ciampa all day. But I would love to see Dream get it, but not yet.
I'm thinking the same thing, but I'm also thinking, does Dream ever need to get the title?
I think Dream's in the Rumble.
I think so, too.
Call me up, Vince.
I like that.
That doesn't mean he's ready to come up.
That he can come
Adam Cole popped up in the Rumble.
You know
that's
true. I think
Adam
Dream's ready to come up.
Andrade did. That was their audition. How do you perform on the big stage?
I've been trying to get these guys to do like something different. I like when they do different shit, but I'm just saying, like, they got into a formula where...
Who's they?
NXT. They got into a formula where you had to win the title. You had to lose the title, and then you came up.
And I'm just saying that formula gets old, it gets stale. Somebody can come up without the title. Oh, shit. But party foul. But he could come up, like, he could come up, and him never winning the title in NXT could be like the chip on his shoulder coming up to make him be like, no, I'm just going to win the main title. Like, I'm just going
to win. He could just come in, come to SmackDown and slap The Miz or something, and then boom, we got a program.
I'm going to give you the best example, and that's Elias. Yeah. Elias did not need a title, and he was not successful at all in NXT. It seemed like a damn joke that he got called up.
The Drifter sucks.
You mean Damian Sandow?
Hey, the three of us all come from the same family tree.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so I don't really appreciate the personal attacks on my people, but I feel you. I'm just saying, like, he has excelled. He doesn't need the title on the main roster. Like,
yeah, he still doesn't need a title.
He doesn't. You know, the face turn lately has been amazing, and the best part about it is they didn't do the WWE thing, which is drastically change him to be a face now versus how he was as a heel.
He's doing the same shit.
And that's all I'm saying. Like, they always need mid-card guys. I'm not saying that he's going to be a mid-card guy or even stuck there, but I'm just saying, like, everybody doesn't have to grace the title to come up so you think, oh, yeah, this guy's going to get a title coming up, because that doesn't happen for everybody.
Right. Yeah.
Just bring them up and let them be good.
Well, and then it's a little bit of a disappointment, because if they're an NXT champion and they come and flounder at the mid-card for a while, you think of them as being a disappointment.
Like Asuka.
Yeah, you're like, you were a champ. What are you doing? You know?
Trashka.
I don't know. Cien Almas was a perfect example in NXT, because a lot of people were disappointed with him.
With his come up?
Not even with his come up.
No, he was weak in the beginning. Yeah, like
in NXT, then he got his debut, right? Yeah. And then it was like kind of a long time of him being in NXT, and then all of a sudden he got his opportunity and became just something different with Zelina Vega. And La Muñeca. And so, like, I just think that at any point, any person can have that change if they take that opportunity and run with it at the right time.
True.
It just depends on that opportunity. I don't think it matters about the title. I think that puts too much pressure on some of them.
That's a good point. All right. So, who said that? Did you say? No. Wait, Jared, you said that. You said that you think Dream is ready.
I think he's ready. I don't think he's a guy who needs to hold the belt to come up. It's just, with him, it's not about is he a champion. It's the persona. It's the show.
It's polished. It's ready to go. So SmackDown, not Raw, obviously.
SmackDown.
Is he a SmackDown guy?
SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that all four guys are ready. Honestly, when you look at Ciampa, Dream, Gargano, and Aleister Black, all four have been in NXT long enough. All four have gimmicks that are well-defined and realized. Gargano, I think, is the only one that needs to stay in NXT a little bit longer to tell more of this story about what he's going through. But even then, if he just brings the fucking chip on his shoulder and comes up as a heel to the main roster and kind of continues the tale there, I don't mind that either. Like, there's a lot of things there. But Aleister Black, that's another guy I would just love to see.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I said the same thing about Aleister Black before he won a title. I didn't think he was going to win it, but I thought he was just going to come up. Like, I thought this guy was ready.
Yeah, because he was already ready. He's been ready.
New Undertaker, you know?
Yeah.
Aleister Black, Gargano, and Ciampa were arguably ready to go to a main roster when they signed with WWE.
Yeah,
I mean, the time in NXT has definitely polished them.
It's been much better for Ciampa and Gargano, because considering their size and stuff, they could have easily been lost in the shuffle on the main roster.
Yeah,
they
never thought
made names for themselves.
Yeah, plus they were the top story in NXT.
No one could have seen that. When they were coming out with that cowboy ass font for their like tag team name and stuff, when they came out, I never thought that they would be where they're at.
Even hard as fuck.
Even when we were talking to the CFOs about his music, and they were saying that they were working on music, I was like, man, they should not give this guy music. Like, he's killing it just coming out with no music.
Yeah.
But they were like, no, that's one of them that have music. They were working on it.
I don't like his music.
You don't like it?
Well, because I liked him
coming out to no
music.
Yeah,
which is a better effect with no music.
Yeah.
But, you know,
but they got to sell music. They want to sell, I don't know, they want to get
albums
on Spotify or something.
You can't sell silence.
They just want streams.
They want streams, man.
You can't stream silence. Now, you're doing it now.
Now, Black, I thought, was ready for the main roster before he even debuted in NXT.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, before he even
his vignettes and him in suits in a church. I was like, all right, cool, call him up.
Yeah, he was ready.
Let's go.
He should have retired Undertaker. Maybe he still will. I don't know. All right, so we got a lot of matches to go through. What's next?
So we got
Wait, any predictions? What do we say?
Consensus is Ciampa.
Ciampa.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Next match. We got one for Dream.
I go Dream.
Two for Dream. All right.
All right, so we got NXT Women's Championship, Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane in a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Another fire match.
Yep. I love both of them. I really like Baszler a lot. I think Baszler retains.
I think Baszler.
I hope they don't do the shenanigans with the horsewoman. I don't really need that. I think she's a great heel without it.
Well,
I think that's why she wins. That's why. Yeah.
Baszler needs to retain.
So I think she's going to retain, and I think it ties into what's going to happen at SummerSlam with Ronda.
Survivor Series.
It's why they did the Becky Charlotte hug. I think
they're
setting up the four horsewomen versus four horsewomen.
So you're saying that she's going to be in, you think she's going to be in her corner?
For I think they're jumping Rumble, maybe?
I think the three. That's what I was saying.
Rumble, maybe?
And then Becky and Ronda at Mania.
Well, they tease it during the Rumble match, probably. They get all four of them in there.
Yep, all four at the same time. They all square off.
And then they can do it at Mania.
Yeah! You know what? You know,
is Baszler going to injure Kairi in this match?
Okay.
She's going to break something.
Next match.
Does Kairi Sane have any of her fellow Joshis come out?
The Pirates?
Yeah. Get her back?
Yo.
Some Soul Calibur characters?
Yeah. I would like to see something. Shirai? Yeah. Kairi?
Yeah.
Shirai?
She's dope, too.
Because they didn't they tag or something recently? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
Next.
All right. Next match. Last match, Gargano versus Aleister Black.
Ooh. Wait, that's the last match?
Well, it's the last match they have.
On the last card.
That's right. No, yeah. Wait, War Games is long.
Damn, I'm surprised.
And two out of three falls.
Is Lars injured? Yeah. He's not fighting anybody?
Two out of three. Yeah,
it's 2 out of 3 falls.
No. He had a pretty decent match with Velveteen like 2 weeks ago on NXT.
Who?
Yeah. I'm just wondering why he's not on the card.
Yeah.
You can't fit everybody on.
I mean,
takeovers are normally like a small jam-packed card.
I think they're going to fit Ono versus...
they're not ready for that. They're still building that.
Is there a pre-show for takeover?
A UK title or anything?
Okay. You know what? Maybe I spoke too soon. Maybe they do have Ono Riddle just because they need like a showcase to really introduce us to Riddle. Because we haven't had that yet.
This could
he's had one intro match.
Yeah, not on the big stage.
And Ono is the put-over guy.
But wait, we have no more. We have what? One more. We have one tonight, right? And one NXT tonight that we haven't seen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a shit talking
about that. I was getting notifications about it.
All right.
So overall, I definitely think this will be a good show. One of those matches, if not a very few, maybe most of them will be probably our favorite matches of the weekend, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Survivor Series card. I got it. Are we ready?
Yes. Yo, let's do it.
Okay. There will be a tag team Survivor Series kickoff match. Does anybody care?
Pre-show.
No, we are the losers.
I hope that's pre-show.
It is on the pre-show.
Okay, good.
I hate that concept. It's so dumb.
You hate what?
The concept of 10-on-10, then like one guy gets out and the team's out. And, like the whole tag team Survivor Series.
That's not fun.
And
you know
Cole is going to screw up saying the rules like 3 times. it's an elimination. No, the team's eliminated with one spin.
It's elimination, but.
It's elimination-ish.
Elimination-ish. We don't care. Next.
Nobody.
Cruiserweight Championship, Buddy Murphy, Mustafa Ali. Should be a great match. It's Buddy Murphy.
Give it to Mustafa.
Yeah, I want Mustafa to win it.
I want Mustafa to win.
Wait, is the other guy a champion?
Mustafa
right
just
now?
Did an Evolve match, didn't he? So maybe they reward him for stepping out.
Did Mustafa win some belt in some church somewhere?
Did he win a belt?
You said he won.
Or he won a match in a church.
He did an Evolve.
Mustafa Ali just won like a match in some church, and I was like, that's funny. He probably isn't a church.
It's a good match. Darby Allin?
That church in New York?
I don't know, maybe.
Probably. Yeah, that was Evolve show, so it might have been in New York.
Okay. In a church.
And Ono fought Shade Strickland.
Which was a fire match.
Fire from what I saw. All right, so predictions? I think Buddy Murphy. A lot of people are thinking Mustafa.
I don't think Buddy Murphy's going to lose it yet. No, he's not. He's got it. Retain.
They just did that for Australia.
Yeah, I'm with Derek.
Yeah Mustafa.
We'll Mustafa. Now that we're back in the States, give it to Mustafa.
I want a good match.
I'm okay with that. Tag team titles. AOP versus The Bar Show.
The pre-show?
The Bar Show. I don't know. I'm just reading matches in order.
This is title versus title.
Yeah, I think this is all the match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Title versus title. Who wins? Who cares?
No, it's just champ versus.
No. Not title versus title. Champion versus champion.
Yeah, no champion. Yeah,
title. Just champ.
Champs.
You know what?
AOP needs this
way more.
Like Big Show's gonna trip,
but they have Big Show.
Like, he's gonna trip or shenanigans.
Whoa!
No, they're gonna double
Drake Maverick.
It's Big Show versus Drake Maverick, and if Drake Maverick wins those little mitts where his hands look so big, Drake Maverick, bro.
Have you seen Big Show in his match this week? Like that guy can barely move right now. Like, yeah, he's struggling.
Maybe they'll let AOP like take him out or something, like do something to him, smash him through a table.
Old
and he lost. Yeah,
he got old.
Surgery too, though. I thought.
Yeah, he's had.
He lost a bunch of weight, but he's old.
Big Show is cut as fuck, though.
Yeah,
yeah, he has six pack. He's cut, but he's old.
Those tall guys, those giants.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. They don't hold up well.
No, their knees never do.
Another Survivor Series tag match.
That got sad fast.
A lot of people. Right? Yeah, it really did. Let's
talk
move.
Knees.
Giants are weak.
Let's move forward. Men's Survivor Series match.
Fairy tales told us nothing but lies.
Who's the team? Who do the men have? I don't have it on my page.
Who do the men have?
They
the
keep
men,
changing.
The men have
yeah, it changed
Bobby,
up now.
Oh wait, you're talking about the actual
not the Survivor, tag teams. Survivor we don't care about tag teams.
Yeah. I know it's Bobby Lashley.
Trash.
Lashley. Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, and Finn Balor. Versus The Miz, Shane McMahon, Samoa Joe, Rey Mysterio Sr., and Jeff Hardy.
Raw better win.
No, wait. Who's Rey Mysterio? SmackDown or Raw?
SmackDown.
SmackDown?
SmackDown's going to win. That Raw team is going to implode.
Raw should win, though, because they're just a...
You got fucking... Drew and Dolph, who are gonna beat Finn's ass. You got Braun, who doesn't give a fuck about anybody. Mm. He might attack Drew.
Drew's gonna win and stand tall at the end.
Dolph and Drew are gonna implode. But I'm with you. Yeah. I like that idea. Drew stands tall at the end.
They
I like that idea.
Get Drew over so big. It's almost like he has to.
Oh yeah, they just strapped the rocket on him when he tapped out Kurt Angle. Like he's got to go to the top.
Now Drew's gonna have a huge 2019.
I noticed they let him say like that he broke the Shield and he retired Angle.
I like that.
That's gonna be
a lot of accolades for being a heel. You know,
title match at Rumble. I don't know who against. I think Drew's getting the title match or he's winning the Rumble.
I think he's the Rumble winner.
I'm okay with that either. But
I like
that
both.
But then that means him in a main event at Mania. Do you think they're behind him as a Mania guy?
I don't know if it's a main event, though. I mean, yeah. I think that's four main events that they have.
No, I'm saying main event.
He's a Raw guy. That means he gets a Raw title shot, which is last match of the show, unless Undertaker fights somebody.
Undertaker's going to retire this year at Mania.
He's said that for three.
He's never going to retire.
No, but it's going to officially happen this year.
They're going to have Ronda versus Becky close the show.
Yep.
I'm okay with that.
That's the main event.
I'm okay
with
that.
Absolutely.
The main event.
Yep.
I'm all right with that.
I'm still thinking that somehow, I'm thinking that Braun is going to get the title and that they're going to do the Drew-Braun feud. Because that's what they were building to when Drew fucking Claymore kicked Braun in the face.
But Drew is the heel.
And, and Brock Brock just made Braun look like a bitch at Crown Jewel. So they just completely destroyed, in my opinion, Braun Strowman.
You keep saying that, but
the momentum's gone.
But then, they didn't make it any better when he came on Raw wanting
to regain some strength.
Baron
Corbin. Corbin hit you with the belt, but Corbin's nobody.
So
to put Braun
with the belt, then he took
he's the acting general manager.
No, I'm saying he had to put not to put Braun with Corbin.
Nah,
that's a down step.
I'm Braun. Petty as fuck. I'll go after the person.
I heard that. No, I heard Braun and Corbin's at TLC. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I heard that too.
That makes sense.
That would make sense. Because
Braun's gonna fucking destroy him. Enough said.
Women's 5-on-5 traditional match: Team Raw, Mickie James, Ruby Riott, Nia Jax, Tamina, and Natalya. Versus Team SmackDown. I'm rooting for anybody with Nia and Tamina.
Yep.
So that is Team Raw.
I don't think you can win if you have Tamina. Is that allowed?
Make a point though, sir.
Yeah. Nia and Tamina.
I don't know if she has a win since she's been a wrestler.
She just beat Ember Moon.
Really? She pinned her?
With help from Nia.
Okay. All right.
And then they beat Nia.
Her first win on the roster.
After the match.
Who's going to be
Ember. She should go back to NXT.
Replacing Charlotte.
Yet, right?
They got to replace.
Who's the four out?
I'm thinking of who it would be.
Who are the four on the team?
Carmella, Naomi, Asuka, and Sonya Deville.
But since it's a surprise, I don't know if one of the Iconics is a big enough.
Is anybody due to come back?
Well, they put Sonya Deville in there. They could put one of the Iconics
Trish Stratus.
Nikki Cross.
Nikki Cross!
That's it!
That's the one.
That's it.
Fucking yeah, Cross.
There it is.
And just let her stay on the roster.
We got it.
They already brought her up. She already had a match.
Well, but she's back on NXT, too. I'm just
really?
Like,
oh,
she's but it book. May have been recorded before
yeah, yeah,
she...
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
Okay. It's Nikki Cross, okay.
I think it should especially be Nikki Cross, because, like, Paige kind of had her authority, like, you know, put to the back seat a little bit with Shane's shit this last week. So
no,
she
she's
pops
not.
In.
I have a snack of the
I have. I have. One? I'm so pissed off.
Not even bloody, bloody.
So pissed off at the way they brought
Nikki
Cross up.
I'm kind of with you. Like, it was sort
I
of
want
like.
Nikki
here's
Cross.
A, here's
yeah,
the,
they just.
Here's
like,
the thing, and now
you
we
brought,
can't forget about it.
You brought Sanity up without her, and then you bring her up and have her come out with Sanity.
It's like they forgot. Oh, yeah, wait, you had another person with you, didn't you? Oh, yeah.
And then you bring her up, and then she loses. So.
They,
all right.
A good follow-up. This could be it.
Charlotte versus Ronda. What do we got?
Ronda's not
all around.
Yet.
Ronda.
What if Becky Plano? Like appears and like?
Thank you. Does Becky?
Oh
show
yeah,
up?
Becky,
chair
yeah.
shots.
And yeah, Becky's gonna be
help
at the
Charlotte.
Show. Yeah, Becky's gonna be on the show. Absolutely.
She's gonna help Charlotte win.
So without getting involved, shenanigans involving Becky for Charlotte's win.
Becky could just walk out.
That's what I'm saying. Just music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like when Austin was out. Like, Austin still had a major impact on the show. He showed up. He caused chaos. He
right.
had
he left.
An impact.
Mm-hmm.
Let Becky do it.
That's
show
true.
Up, raise hell, drink beer.
Austin, yeah, ran the show without being able to wrestle. Like, he was just that dominant.
Yeah.
He couldn't even wrestle and still dominated the show.
That's why I think Becky's going to be so dope going forward until she can get back in the ring, because she can just talk that shit knowing nobody can touch her.
The only reason why she's out is the concussion. It's not the broken nose.
Yeah, if she had a broken face, she
right.
could do
there,
the
right.
mask.
Well, and the thing about it is we've talked about their roster being super deep and them acquiring a bunch of people from the indies and all this other stuff, right? When you look at the women's division, now they've had Alexa Bliss miss major time. At a major pay-per-view, a major story at a major women's show because of concussions. Now they've lost Becky Lynch at a major show due to at a major angle at the
concussion.
Hottest time in her career due to concussion. They lost Zelina Vega after Evolution due to concussion.
I didn't even know that until yesterday.
Right. So like it's crazy because they've, you know, and that's some of their top women that are really popular right now.
Yeah.
It could really go the same way with men at any point, you know. So like when you start wondering and at any point these guys could have two or three in the course of a 6 month period of time and their careers could be over.
And I'll say this much, kudos to the WWE for doing the right thing and making these performers not perform until they are clear of any symptom.
This is concussion protocol.
They don't want, 'cause you know what? They don't want to be the NFL.
No.
Period, point blank.
You know
but do you
want
to know what's even crazier? Is that like you're saying like all these concussions that they're getting, but as hard as these women are wrestling right now, these concussions aren't even coming from like the big spots.
They're
not coming from the big moves, from the going
fluke.
Through the tables and shit.
Fluke,
it's just
a fluke punch.
They never do though, right?
True.
I mean, that's
kind of usually
action,
how it goes.
You know
yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so...
Team SmackDown, Team Raw, what's everybody's thoughts on that? Can we get a consensus?
Team SmackDown won last year.
But I think SmackDown's going to win because Ronda's going to win. They'll give them one and one.
They'll split them.
Yeah. I think SmackDown's
split.
Attack, like, on Raw makes me think that it's going to be Raw that
to
wins
win.
It. Because
Raw looks weak after
and,
that.
And it, I mean, they
yeah, there was no Raw interference on Tuesday.
But the thing
right,
is...
they did on both last...
Well, they knocked out their champion, so...
Without even trying.
Well, on one hand, they have Nia, and that's always like a big force, but they also have a bunch of unlikable people on Raw's team, so...
Yeah, that's also true.
I would say SmackDown. We didn't talk about the title, the main title, champion versus champion.
There's actually one.
Brock Lesnar.
We actually missed a match.
Versus Daniel Bryan. Who did I miss?
Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, why is it not on here?
Oh, Shinsuke. You know why you missed it? Because Shinsuke's not on TV, so.
He's not.
He's probably not on the list either.
Oh, it's way down here. What do you guys. I say Seth. But then again, Shinsuke needs some momentum badly.
Yeah, I'm going to say Shinsuke.
Dean's
going
to interfere to give Shinsuke the win.
I like that.
Yep.
All right, Dean, Dirty Deeds.
Yeah. He's gonna
We're
bring...
calling a lot of interferences, boy.
Interference
Survivor
all
Series.
Match.
Welcome to Survivor
all show.
Right. Shenanigans. Have you seen this before?
It's all going to build up to Royal Rumble.
Shenanigans.
Is going to come out with the popcorn cart and with that ball of fire.
The drum of fire. Burn it down.
The drum heater.
Maybe he's going to take...
With Renee Young behind
The Intercontinental title and toss it in there.
By the way, that drum of fire was really close to that car.
I know. I was like, dude.
I was afraid that mirror was going to melt off. It didn't.
That'd it didn't, though.
No. It was also a weird moment on Raw when they ask Renee. Anytime they ask Renee about Dean, it's like, look, either fucking she needs to play up that she's married to him.
And that's a new
or
thing.
Or they need to drop it.
That's new.
Because they're like, what do you think about that? You're closest to him.
And I know.
Like,
it's just like,
well, like, I don't know, man.
Well, he's
Dean
not.
Dean gave you the dirty in the green room.
Yeah, like, we don't talk at all. We're married, but we really do not have conversations.
Not that strong, but they were just trying to play it like, oh, my God, he's such a. He's such a
every
cannon,
night,
even,
all Steve
know
talks about
doing.
Is Seth.
Every
Rollins.
Night, Seth.
Over dinner.
That would be amazing if she's like, oh my God, Michael, let me tell you, last night he came home and he was just like, oh, Seth gets all this applause. Oh, all the fans love Seth. You know what? They remember he turned on my ass first. That's some bullshit, Renee. What are you cooking? I don't want that.
That's Seth's favorite food. I do
Seth
not want that.
Seth loves fucking pasta.
Did Seth tell you to cook that shit?
Oh my God, this is wild.
That's now. That one day, maybe we'll get Renee to like snap and be like, "Let me tell you what he thinks about Seth Rollins."
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't become
you didn't
a part of
the trash
story.
Out last night. I'm fucking pissed.
So who we got? Brock or Brian?
I posted on Twitter, what is the over-under on total number of suplexes that Daniel Bryan takes?
He's got to take 10, I would say.
Minimum 10?
10 is a good number, over-under for a good number.
Well, I mean, he didn't give Braun any suplexes. He just gave him, what, 5F5?
It's way easier to suplex Daniel Bryan than it is a suplex.
It'll be more fun to watch him getting suplexed around.
I'm going
to
go over 10.
But how many can he take?
Over 10?
That's what I'm thinking. Can Daniel Bryan really take that many with his neck?
Good question.
Does anybody think Daniel Bryan's winning this match?
No.
Yes.
Are you just saying that?
Or unless AJ interferes.
More
interference, AJ comes out.
I'm kind of with
the shit out of Big Cass. He can do the same
thing. Or
I'm kind of with
you
Neo.
Get Samoa Joe coming out.
He did make Big Cass tap out.
For one reason. For me, like, this match is more about Brock Lesnar and what Brock Lesnar's future is. Like,
and what Brock
why
Lesnar
the
will do.
Fuck did they put the title back on Brock Lesnar? Like, what's the plan? You know, and
Braun's not ready.
Gonna hold it till Mania.
Is it Braun?
Yeah.
Is there something with Daniel Bryan?
They didn't want to put the title on Braun.
Get on the mic.
They didn't want to put the title on Braun in Saudi. They could that
why?
The same reason that Shane won best
in
the world
had so much controversy. You don't want to just detract from Braun taking that.
The only smart thing the WWE did in Saudi Arabia was letting Hulk Hogan come back.
So you think they want Braun to win, but they just didn't want to do it in Saudi?
I think they wanted it on a bigger stage that was more acceptable.
But why did they squash Braun Strowman then?
I guess
that's the only way to beat him.
And I feel like it's the same thing that he's saying. What I've been telling you guys, like, you're like, oh, Brock squashed him, but he squashed him after a shot to the head.
Shenanigans always take away
from everything else that happened. Oh, yeah, that title shot means that
okay.
Man knows
he didn't have a chance, so it wasn't.
Very
yeah,
slim down Brock Lesnar.
All,
looks even
well,
smaller.
Well, here's one
well, yeah,
thing.
When
I'm,
you get back in that USDA testing, you know,
you got to be natural.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that for some reason they make this titles on the line. And they take it off Brock. Because I don't know that he's got...
So Dan has both belts?
Oh, if you're going to cement a heel
wait
turn...
Wait a minute!
If you're going to cement
hot
a heel
take. Turn... Hot take alert!
You get it off, you get the belts on
wrong
Daniel
with
through...
You.
Daniel
you
Bryan,
are crazy, first
well,
of all.
Here's
go
the
ahead.
Thing. It, what,
so they're going to do these
you're
rules
insane.
Just for these guys?
Well, no.
You're nuts! Okay, go on.
How much time does Brock have... Is Brock
when are we going to stop saying, oh, but, no. Brock's not coming back? He, month after month after but, month, but,
no.
He's
Brock
signed.
Appears like
Brock
no.
is signed.
But he also is getting ready to train for Daniel Cormier.
He's
that's
he's
that
he's
match
signed.
He's
that's who he's going to lose the WWE title to.
There
Daniel
you go.
Cormier.
He's signed
Cormier.
Through Mania.
Yeah, but Cormier
want,
wants
that
to bring
Cormier,
a title, but they're not
is that Cormier match signed?
But
no.
It's not
they,
on the
they,
books.
No. They haven't announced the date yet. Dana White said the next fight that Daniel Cormier has
it's
is
against
Brock.
We talked about this,
but
there's
no
date.
Does
date yet.
WWE want Brock to carry the WWE title into the octagon?
No.
Yes.
Dana White.
Not on the line.
No.
That's to wear it.
Dana White.
Why not?
Dana doesn't want that.
What's that?
Dana doesn't want that. because he can't. UFC does not,
fucking fans
he,
don't want.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you think our support's a joke?
He does not want any illusion that there is some sort of.
Bring the Divas title in while you're at it.
Tell Brock he can't wear it.
Come out with Sable with hand size.
Dana will pay Brock enough money. Brock will say, I don't need that fucking belt.
Okay.
Well, that's different. Money talks for Brock.
Also, Dana doesn't run that shit anymore. He's just a face. So let's not.
But
you guys forget who MMA fans are wearing Affliction shirts all the time and shit like that. These people are not going to accept a pro wrestling belt being brought into the office.
Oh, no. They will revolt.
Unless that's what they want. Unless they want to generate.
I would love it. I would mark out. We're going to watch that.
But we're watching that fight whether or not the belt shows up.
No, we're not because I'm watching. I'm not paying
for it. I don't pay for UFC. But
it's going to be like.
You're still going to watch it.
Yeah, but they're not going to get paid for me watching it.
Are they going to get paid for you watching if he brings the title belt?
Maybe.
No, don't even. You're still watching it the next day. The title belt in the intro.
Okay, wait. Back to what you were saying. You think Brock there's a chance that they decide to just put the belt on the line at Survivor Series?
Who knows?
Hey, watch the booking this week.
Hey, I know I told you they just decided to randomly put the WWE Championship on the line the night freaking leading into
randomly 2 weeks in a row the same match and then they just switch it.
Shane Stephanie BS and they bet. Okay, let's take bets.
Yeah, you want to
put
say,
the titles on the line.
You want to say your show's better than mine. Let's put those titles on the line.
So hold on.
Whoever will be the undisputed Universal of the WWE.
That's what you guys are saying.
It makes a lot of sense.
So you guys are saying are you guys saying they're going to unify the titles, or they're just going to take the red belt to SmackDown?
No, they'll just have both belts.
So they're just going to be carrying a red belt around on the blue brand.
If I'm booking it, the way you do it is if Daniel's got both. He then has to defend on both shows, both belts separately.
He's on both shows now. He's on Raw and SmackDown. You get your most wife.
What if, for the buck? How over as a face do you get Braun if he takes the belt off of a heel Daniel Bryan?
Not to mention the fact that Daniel Bryan being a heel with both championships is the ultimate in your face to all of us that have wanted Daniel Bryan to be a title holder for so long.
Yeah,
they're like, oh yeah, you're gonna get it.
You get it, but he's a dick. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah,
but Daniel Bryan had both the titles before.
He did. He unified them before.
So, if anybody.
He's done it before.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. He's experienced.
He's experienced.
He knows how to lift both belts.
This is insane, but I would love to see it.
What I want out of nowhere is Shinsuke to come out and help him win it with interference just to help.
Shenanigans! Shenanigans!
And he can give him a big blast.
Give him
a. Wow, that's.
No homo.
So it looks like AJ Styles gets the night off, which maybe that was just what it was all about, like giving them some time off.
Maybe he's the fifth member of the women's team.
That guy has been building SmackDown for how long?
Uncle Allen.
Wow.
It has been AJ Styles' house
for a long time. Maybe it's like, look, you just want some time off. Yeah, and they were like, all right, you got to lose that strap.
If they wanted him to kind of go into like a depressed state too, how depressing would it be to be the champ that runs the camp that doesn't have a match at the show where both brands are facing off because he's like the captain of the team, but he doesn't have
He doesn't have a match or a title.
See John Cena at WrestleMania just sitting in the crowd.
Want to know how Joe fits into this because
Samoa Joe?
As I said earlier and because like Joe,
he's not there.
I know, but he can pop up.
AJ pops up with Samoa Joe's children.
What's the point of making matches if somebody different pops up every match?
What I'm saying is this. Joe lost all his matches to AJ Styles for AJ Styles to lose to Daniel Bryan. I'm saying I wonder how this is going to propel Joe's character in storyline. Is that going to affect him in any way?
I mean, it would be cool to see, but they have short memories.
Daniel Bryan won that
short memories.
Being a dick.
And he'll give Joe a shot, maybe. I don't know. That's weird. But it's
shenanigans overrules everything.
Shenanigans.
Is this going to be Daniel Bryan's last match?
Ever?
Yeah.
Is he going to die in the ring?
Is he going to get hurt again? I'm serious question.
I mean, he could get suplexed until he fades away like one of those characters at the end of Infinity War.
This is not the week for that.
No. Too soon. Rest in peace, Stan Lee.
We're going to hold off on that because that's, we need to
too
finish
soon.
This. We need to finish this for
all right, guys. I think we are wrapped up. We I don't know how long we've been. Our timer is just seconds.
It's not even 10 o'clock yet. We're on good time.
No. That would mean a 2-hour show.
We started at 8.
Yeah, we did.
We started like 8:20. Teach showed up at 8:30.
Anyways,
we just broke down
War Games. He broke down Survivor Series. The biggest thing this week that happened, unfortunately, was the passing of an icon, a legend, somebody who arguably impacted my life, my childhood, a lot of people. The passing of Stan Lee.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we knew at some point it was going to happen. Everybody. It's just nobody wanted to actually see it happen.
Like, I heard that they were, like, bulk taping his cameos.
I wonder
stuff.
How many more does he have?
The Infinity War
he's
cameos
in
done.
The next one.
I think the.
Oh, no, but I'm saying even before that, like, I think before he got sick, that they were, like, bulking his cameos that they had him just to put
they
in
stuff.
They
had pre-recorded a bunch of them.
Well, how do you feel about
case.
That, though? How do you feel about him appearing after death?
That's I like fine. It.
No, you know okay what? It's a perfect thing for a Marvel character.
You know what, though? It's
yeah,
a part,
him and Infinity
it's a,
character.
It's a part of those movies.
It would be mm-hmm. different if they were CGI.
Yeah, don't do that.
After
yeah, you can't
once,
do that.
Once the film ones are done, let
yeah,
it go.
Yeah, let them go.
But if he filmed like three or four more, mm-hmm. I mean,
let's see.
I always, when I go to those movies, I want to see what happens, but I always want to see where the Stan Lee cameo is.
I actually would like to see like either a Stan Lee like mid-credit or end-credit. Like, I wonder if they did one of those where like
who knows?
We get a little bit more Stan Lee than what we get yeah. just seeing him.
Yeah.
But I would be extra sad if Stan Lee recorded like a fucking like, I'm about to go, like this is like my goodbye, and then they put that at the end of like
there's
Infinity
no way,
War
there's
or something.
No,
nah, I would hope
not.
Not
that.
Nah,
not
they wouldn't
not
do
that.
But what I've been reading
not
about
a
it,
Final Testament, but
no,
it's like a good
just like
phase.
So long.
Not like
phase.
My will.
He's 95 years old. There's a good chance that he could have had some sort of contingency plan to film something.
Sure,
I get what
yeah.
you're saying.
Oh, no,
it could be a little weird.
But they will. At the very least, we'll see at the end of those movies. It'll be in honor of Stan Lee.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the next one is
everybody's
Marvel.
Oh man,
yeah, I'm gonna cry. I'm
that's
gonna, cry
gonna that that's gonna be rough.
Yeah, I'm gonna cry.
I want them. If you guys haven't seen it, there's something that went viral. A lot of people have been posting it. It's a quote from Stan Lee. It's called Stan's Soapbox.
Yes.
I would love to see them scroll that like Star Wars style.
That
or
would
something.
Be awesome.
Maybe at, like, at the end or something. But I'm just gonna read just the beginning of it real fast.
Yeah, read it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Stan's Soapbox. Let's lay it right on the line. Bigotry and racism. Racism are among the deadliest social ills plaguing the world today. But unlike a team of costumed supervillains, they can't be halted with a punch in the snoot or a zap from a ray gun. The only way to destroy them is to expose them, to reveal them for the insidious evils they really are. The bigot is an unreasoning hater, one who hates blindly, fanatically, indiscriminately. If his hang-up is black men, he hates all black men. If a redhead once offended him, he hates all redheads. If some foreigner beat him to a job, he's down on all foreigners. He hates people he's never seen, people he's never known, with equal intensity, with equal venom. Now we're not trying to say it's unreasonable for one human being to bug another. But although anyone has the right to dislike another individual, it's totally irrational, patently insane to condemn an entire race, to despise an entire nation, to vilify an entire religion. Sooner or later, we must learn to judge each other on our own merits. Sooner or later, if man is to ever be worthy of his destiny, we must fill our hearts with tolerance. For them, and only then, will we be truly worthy of the concept that man has created in the image of God, a God who calls us all his children.
Yeah, wow. I think that is a perfect way to end this. RIP is also in order, but I think all of us collectively and everyone who was a fan of anything Marvel related, we can all just say thank you to
absolutely.
Stan Lee.
By the way, that quote's from 1968.
And it's relevant today.
And it's so
that
relevant.
That could have been
today.
Yesterday. So
yep.
crazy.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you to Stan Lee for everything you contributed, because you are going to be missed, sir.
Now, I want to do something, because on the Steel Cage, we always give our winner of the week.
Yes.
A lot of times we pick our own, but I think this would be a good week to have a consensus about a few winners of the week. I think that we have to say rest in peace to Stan Lee.
Absolutely.
And I think the man, Becky Lynch, is unequivocally the winner of the week this week.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Stan the man and the man.
Excelsior, winners. Sir. Excelsior.
We're going to wrap up the show from the Steel Cage and Matt Mania. We thank you so much for joining us. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, keep your shoulders
off the mat.
Peace.